Now, on the note of singing, how many of you in here know I'm not going to ask you to sing, feel like God might have gifted you with a voice for singing? Okay, as Pam points backwards to Amy, all right. One of the hard parts about reading the Bible is that we are very far removed from the time and the circumstances in which it was written. The people from the pages of Scripture are some 2,000 years removed from us. We have technological advances that they didn't have. Information can be sent from one side of the globe to another in an instant. When we think of traveling to another state, hundreds of miles, we think about perhaps hopping in our car with just a duffel bag full of clothes and maybe a snack, and getting there in a day or two at most, or perhaps even hopping on a plane and going around the world. When we think of times in the Bible where people traveled from one place to another, do we stop and think how long some of those journeys had to take? For us, a lot of things are instantaneous. In Scripture, sometimes things take a little bit longer. However, there are some points of commonality between us and the people of Scripture. We have hopes, we have dreams, aspirations for ourselves, our kids, our church. We have things that we feel passionate about, things that we feel like God has given to us as gifts. At the risk of embarrassing some of you and asking you to raise your hand, how many of you feel like what you got to do with your life, your job, your ministry, whichever, how many of you feel like what you got to do with your life is what God called you to do? Anybody in here get to do what God called them to do for a living? Okay. The thing that I am very passionate about is ministry, preaching, people. I consider myself to be a relational person. I am much more comfortable sitting down around a table with a small group of people and sharing in life. That and being up in the pulpit, being able to hold on to God's word, being able to teach. These are things that I'm passionate about, things that I feel like God has called me to do. Interestingly enough, my wife felt called of God to be a preacher's wife. Funny how some things work out that way. We both get to do the things that God called us to do. Now, my question for you today is, what would you do if the thing that you had been working for, working towards your whole life, God suddenly said to you, I want you to give it up. I want you to let go of this thing that you've worked so hard for, and I want you to give it to me. What would we do? Please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Tonight we're going to look at one man who God literally promised the world to, and then just a short time later told him, I'm going to take it all away. Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son, Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burned offering. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burned offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord. As we look at this story of Abraham, we acknowledge that we are some 3,700 years removed. But I think to some extent, we might in some way be able to empathize with where Abraham was coming from. Today, let us look at life from Abraham's perspective. Good evening. Hello. I'm glad that you were able to join me this evening. It's been a long trip to get here, but I am very pleased to be able to see you all. Those that I would actually call my children, children of my faith. But where are my manners? Perhaps you don't recognize me, don't know me. My name is Abraham, and today I would like to share with you a story of a journey that I took with my son and my God. It is a story that some of you might remember very well. Now, as I said, it's been a little bit hard, so please excuse me. Not as young as I used to be. I'm over 100 years old, you know. Anybody else here that old? No? Anybody close? Willard, you're allowed to raise your hand. You can hit me later if you want to. There was a time when God called me on a very great journey. It was a journey that took a lot of chutzpah. He told me to leave everything that I knew, my land, my family, my people. And this is already when I was close to 100 years old. And he told me to go to the place that he would show me. He didn't even tell me where we were going. So I did what any decent person would do. And you might be thinking that I was crazy, but when God says go, you pick up everything and you go. It was an act that took a lot of faith. And that's what I've been doing since then. I've been living on faith. The question always in the back of my mind, would God be faithful to provide in the way that he promised? Would he be faithful to take me, an old man, and turn me into a nation, and that he would bless me and the whole world through me? He appeared to me again many years later after I'd set out on my journey and told me he would make me into a multitude of nations. And what's more, that me and my aged wife, Sarah, would have a son. Can you imagine a 100-year-old man having a son? Oh, how we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And then God laughed at us and Isaac was born. And so we named him Isaac. We named him Laughter. In my old age, God brought laughter into my life. Old and as good as dead, some people said, but I still have a little bit of life in me. And the beautiful thing about Isaac was that I didn't adopt him. I didn't buy him. He was a child of promise, something that God had promised to me. I believed what God said, and God gave me more than I could ever have imagined. Maybe that's why he's God and I'm not, because I can't always imagine what it is he's going to do. Well, the only thing is with God, you don't always know what the future holds. And there was a time in my life where my faith was taken and shaken and molded. Let me tell you this story. Let me tell you what God did to me. It was a long time ago, but I still remember it like it was only yesterday, because it was the time when my faith in God was refined more than any other. You see, I was sitting in the shade of a tree when suddenly God called from heaven to me, called my name, Abraham. And I said, "Here I am, Lord." He'd only spoken to me a few times before, but what he said next shook me to my bones. He told me to take my son, my only son, whom I loved, and to journey and to offer him as a sacrifice. You have to understand that I had just sent away my other son, Ishmael. I'm living in a land full of strangers, people who worship other gods. And these other nations, these Canaanites, their gods were the ones who wanted blood sacrifice. God had never asked me to sacrifice in this way before. He promised to bless me through Isaac. And then he told me to give Isaac in sacrifice. It didn't make any sense. But as the presence of God departed, I went through a range of motion. First, anger. Then, numbness. What was I to do? God had asked this of me. And when God asks something of you, there's only one response that you can give. Obedience. And as I looked back over the course of my life, I realized that in all of my journeying with God, he had never failed me yet. He is the God who doesn't fail. And that's why I'm able to tell you today, what do you do when God puts you in an impossible situation? What do you do when God asks of you what seems impossible? I did what anyone would do. I did as God asked. So the next morning, I saddled the donkeys, gathered the preparations for the sacrifice, gathered the wood, gathered my young men, and I took my son. I took my son, and we began to set out. And during the course of the day, I kept Isaac close to me, reached out my hand often and touched his shoulder. And I'm sure that he thought I was only looking for support. After all, 100 years old and traveling, I'm not as spry as I used to be. But Isaac didn't know what was going on. I didn't need support. I just wanted to touch him in case this was the last time I was able to do so. That night, we made camp, and I lay awake. Isaac's bedroll lay close to the fire. It gets cold in the desert at night, particularly when you're traveling up into the mountains. I looked over at him, the slow rising and falling of his chest. He breathed, so young, so full of life. Have you ever laid awake at night, watching your children sleep, looking at them and realizing, this came from me. This is me, my wife. This is the gift that God has given me. Here he lays in front of me. And I dare not sleep that night. All through the night, I watched him. And it seemed that night that I heard God's promises to me once again. Look at the stars. Look at the sand of the seashore. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. I will make a great nation out of you. It took me back to that moment again. Although God did not speak, I felt his presence there, and a sense of trust came over me. I look back, and I remembered. Once again, I was able in that moment to trust God, even though I did not know what that next day would bring. So, the next morning, we set off, and in the distance, I saw the mountain. I told the servants to stay behind, that me and my boy would go away, that we would sacrifice, and that we would return to them again. So I placed the wood on Isaac, and I took the knife in one hand and the fire in the other, and I began that long, slow climb up to the mountain's peak. And every step I took reflected the beating of my heart pounding within me. It was a long, slow climb. Eventually, Isaac began to notice my silence, and feeling my mood, he began to wonder, he began to think, and finally he asked me, "Father, where is the sacrifice? I see the wood. I see the fire. What is it we're going to do when we get to the top of the mountain? What is it we're going to give God?" Because even my son Isaac knew that when you sacrifice to God, you don't come to him empty-handed. You don't come to him with nothing. And in that moment, my heart almost broke again within me because Isaac knew that something was going on. Something was out of the ordinary. Something was missing. I answered him in the only way that I knew how. I knew that God was faithful. So I told him, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the sacrifice." I didn't know what God was going to do. I just knew that he had always shown himself faithful. So I would obey, and if need be, Isaac would be my lamb. So we continued our climb up the mountain alone, and we reached the top there, and stone by stone, piece of wood by piece of wood, I built the altar and laid out the wood on top of it. And then I turned to Isaac, and he just stood there, looking at me with tears in his eyes. And then I bound his hands and bound his feet. And I took my son, my only son, and I laid him on that pile of wood. There's no greater love outside of the love of God than between a father and a son. There's nothing greater in this world that exists than the bond between a father and a son. But there I lay him on the altar, my breath coming faster and faster, my heart beating as if it were going to pound out of my chest. And I shook, whether from fear, I don't know. But this I do know, God is faithful. And surely this, if he can bring a child from a man and woman as good as dead, then surely that same God can bring a child back to life from the dead again. And so with trembling hand, I clutched the knife and raised it above my head. I was going to give back to God that which he had given to me. Abraham! Suddenly from heaven, the voice of the angel of the Lord. And my hand stopped. The voice that had stopped my heart 3 days before stopped it now once again. Where before there was terror, now there was hope. Here am I managed to choke out. And he said to me, and I can still hear those words ringing in my ears, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know now that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then I heard a noise behind me, and I turned and I looked, and there, caught in the thicket behind me, was a ram. And in hearing the sound of it thrashing in the brush, all of the promises of God also came rushing back to my ears. I will surely bless you. It was that day that I saw my faith, my obedience to God tested to the full, and I did not withhold from him the gift that he had given to me. And in that moment, I received my son back from the dead again. And not only that, my son saw for himself that God would be his provider for the rest of his days. And so I called that mountain, the Lord will provide, because God provided for me a better sacrifice than I could have ever provided. The Lord provides. The lesson that I would like to leave with you today is that you serve an amazing God, full of kindness, full of compassion, abounding in steadfast love. He provides in the impossible because I think if he were to provide merely within the realm of possibility, we would think that it was us who had accomplished it. Why did I have to give Isaac back to God? Why, in order for me to realize the gift that God had given me and to keep my son from becoming my idol. Do you have the faith to believe that God will provide even in impossible situations? Do you know that God will also provide for all of your needs as he did mine? Your response is the same as mine was. You must respond in faith. And that, my dear children, is what makes me the father of faith. I believed God, and it was credited to me as righteousness. How much do you trust him, I wonder? What we see when we step back into the Old Testament is people who lived and walked with God in faith, much like we do today. And we realize that they're not so different, although perhaps maybe no one in here was asked to sacrifice their son. Now, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the life of Abraham? Well, take a few here. Abraham had to journey for 3 full days with his son at his side, knowing that at the end of it, he was going to have to offer his son as a sacrifice. 3 long days of not knowing what it was that God was going to do. And at the end of it, he still responded in faith. He still did what God asked of him, even though it was painful. And in the end, he received his son again. What would have happened possibly if God had not asked Abraham to offer Isaac? Remember that it was supposed to be through Isaac that all of God's blessings came to Abraham. Abraham had the possibility of looking to his son as his source of salvation, as his source for the future, instead of the God who had provided. Are there things in your life that you look to instead of God for your functional salvation? Things that you look to for your security, your future? Is it your job, your pension, your kids? Are they the things that you trust in? Or are you trusting in God? That is one lesson from the life of Abraham. Another potential lesson to learn, and this one is a little bit metaphorical. Do you have that one thing in your life that you feel like God has asked you to surrender? Whether it be sin or not, something that you feel like God has asked you to lay on the altar, and you keep saying, God, I really like this. I really want to hold on to it. And it keeps coming on and off the altar, on and off the altar. Are we holding back that which God has asked of us to surrender, to let go? And in some cases, if it's not sin, do we realize that sometimes God just wants us to give it over to him, and then when we receive it back again, it's something that's been sanctified because we gave it over to him, and we might be able to finally hold it safely? Will we trust God when he asks us to surrender? Another point that we can learn from the life of Abraham is that God never asks us to give up anything greater than what he is going to give us. Let me say that again. God is never going to ask us to give up anything that isn't going to be fulfilled by something greater that he gives us. Do you realize that if you lost your house, your family, your job, every security in this world, that you still have the greatest gift that anyone can receive in the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross? There is no greater thing in this world than that which God has already given to us in the sacrifice of his Son. He is our greatest gift. God never asks us to give up anything that isn't going to be replaced with something greater. Luke 18:29, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." One of the things that we can learn from the life of Abraham is that God might not ask us to give up everything, but ultimately, everything that we have in this life belongs to him. And we need to be ready to surrender everything we have at any moment. How many of you have ever had to make a painful sacrifice in your life? You've had to walk away from a job that you thought was really good. You've lost someone that you love and you've wanted to hold on. You've been through something painful. I think every one of us has. Realize this. The other lesson that we can learn from the life of Abraham is that while Abraham offered up his son and received him back to life again, God stayed Abraham's hand. When it came to paying for our sin, Who is Isaac but a prefiguration of Jesus on the cross? Because when it came time, God did not withhold his hand. He did not hold back his hand. He offered up his one and only son for us. Folks, is everything that you have in this life God's, or is it yours? And if you haven't given him everything, if you're still holding back, will you give everything to him tonight? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you praise for your word. We give you thanks for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we pray, help us to hold nothing back from you. Help us not to see anything in this world as greater than you. Turn our hearts to yours tonight. Help us to praise your name, not just with our lips, but with our hearts and with our lives. With everything that we have, we surrender to you now. And we ask all of these things in your Son, your only Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.